Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 2. Atacharya sutastesham buddhim ekanta samstitam alaksha bitas tvarito ragya dve dayat yata ata. Thereupon, Charya Sutta, the son of Sukracharya, Tesham, of them, the sons of the demons, Budim, the intelligence, Ekanta Samstitam, fixed in one subject matter, devotional service, Alaksha, realizing or seeing practically. Bitaha, being afraid. Tvarita, as soon as possible. Ragya, under the king, Hiranyakashipu. Avedayat, submitted. Yata, fittingly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Sananda and Amarka, the sons of Sukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. Purport. The word buddhi ekanta samstitam indicate that as an effect of Prahlad Maharaj's preaching, the students who listened to him became fixed in the conclusion that Krishna consciousness is the only object of human life. The fact is that anyone who associates with a pure devotee and follows his instructions becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness and is not disturbed by materialistic consciousness. The teachers particularly observed this in their students, and therefore they were afraid because the whole community of students was gradually becoming Krishna conscious. Here's an explanation of what we're trying to accomplish. That is, convince ourselves and convince others in the conclusion that Krishna consciousness is the only object of human life. As it says, Matirana Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam Adantago Virvishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvata Charvananam. Everyone has consciousness, everyone has will, and in human form of life we can choose where we want to put our consciousness. So that's called Miti. Miti means where we put our consciousness. But, generally speaking, people do not want to put their consciousness on Krishna. Matirana Krishne. But instead, Parataksatova. Parata means others. Swata means oneself. So generally speaking, people are thinking about other things. So many things to think about. Or one is thinking about one's own self-interest. And mito pibhatyeta. Or there's a combination of both. Sometimes we think about one thing, sometimes we think about something else, but the last thing people want to think about is Krishna. Because basically the material existence is trying to become Krishna, and it's very inconvenient if there's already a Krishna who already has the post, and he can't be voted out of the post, and he refuses to leave. Therefore, it's very difficult to get rid of him. So we'd rather not hear about him. It's like the rabbit. He's surrounded by a very big animals who are about to eat him. So his solution to the problem is just close his eyes and pretend that they're not there. Hopefully they'll just go away. But by closing one's eyes, pretending that the animals aren't there, we're going to eat the rabbit, it doesn't make any difference. The rabbit's still going to be eaten. It's just a waste of time. Or if one is anxious, or if one is an ostrich, one is anxious that one will be attacked. An ostrich has a really big body and a really long neck and a small little head. So when the ostrich puts his head in the hole, hoping that the animal has gone away, he's protected now, that his head is in the hole, although his huge body is outside the hole, including his long neck. So it's a useless endeavor, putting your little head in a little hole, thinking that you're protected. So people are thinking, if I don't hear about Krishna, if I don't understand Krishna consciousness, then I can do whatever I want and nothing will affect me. If I don't believe in the laws of nature, then they'll simply go away. Unfortunately, the laws of material nature don't go away. Prabhupada said you may refuse to bow down to Krishna. You may refuse to bow down to anyone. But ultimately, at the time of death, your body will be forced to bow down. And there's nothing more sure than death. Every moment, the material nature is changing everything in the material world, although some things are appearing, but they're appearing only for some time before they disappear. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is giving convincing arguments to his classmates that material life is not very valuable because it's only temporary. But Krishna consciousness, which is an alternative, is actually eternal. And therefore, if we want to get real benefit, we might as well get eternal benefit. If we gave everyone here €1 million, but we only gave it to you for a millionth of a second, what would be the value of €1 million? You may claim you were once a millionaire for a millionth of a second, but it's not a very important aspect of one's life to only be a millionaire for a millionth of a second. Similarly, 1 million years compared to eternity is nothing. Even Brahma lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years, and that's an exhalation of Mahavishnu. And there are millions and millions of Brahmas appearing and disappearing in the ocean of material existence. And therefore, 1 million years is nothing, although it seems a great amount of time for us. And therefore, to have €1 million for a millionth of a second is more significant than the amount of what our significance of this one life is compared to eternity. This life has no significance whatsoever. Only when it's utilized in Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service that has any meaning at all. Otherwise, it's one of the unlimited lives we've already gone through, and one of the unlimited lives we'll continue to go through if we don't become Krishna conscious. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj explained this to his classmates, and they thought this was a good idea. What he was saying was intelligent. That's called buddhi. But of course, the demons, this is the last thing they want to hear. That's why they're demons. If a demon actually hears this philosophy, then they become a devotee. But the demons, their whole endeavor is to make sure that they don't hear the philosophy and that no one else hears it either. Because it's easier to control demons than it is to control devotees. And the whole idea is to control people in the material world. If in the spiritual world the whole idea is love, loving relationships, here the whole idea is simply lording it over everyone and exploiting them. Sometimes it's done in the name of love, sometimes it's done in the name of hate, but ultimately it's the same thing, simply trying to control and exploit others. In the name of society, friendship, and love, it has a good name. In the name of hate, animosity, and antagonism, it has a very bad name. But ultimately, love in the material world means you have to control the other person or living entity, and then you try to get some satisfaction from them. So Prahlad Maharaj is convincing his associates that they should use their intelligence and see Krishna consciousness as a positive alternative to very unfortunate material circumstances. And they were intelligent enough, because they were only 5 years old, they didn't spend a whole life of hearing nonsense, becoming conditioned by material experience, and therefore they were quite receptive. And the more receptive they became, the more obvious it became, the more the demons were disturbed. So if the demons are not disturbed, it's probably because we're not doing anything to disturb them. If the demons think we're good, then we must be doing something wrong. It means we must be like the demons. Otherwise, why do the demons think we're good? If we were actually spreading Krishna consciousness, and it was noticeable that people were giving up intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating, the demons wouldn't think we're very good. They'd immediately try to counteract us, because that's what they're trying to propagate. Therefore, Sundana and Marka became disturbed, and they went to the head demon, who got most disturbed, Hiranyakashipu, as we'll find out in the next verse, which I'll read now. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus he finally decided to kill his son Prahlad. It's one way of getting rid of the opposition. You disagree with someone, it's one way of making sure that their arguments aren't heard anymore. Hiranyakashipu is by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake, trampled upon someone's foot. His son Prahlad was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control, and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. So if someone starts hissing at you like a snake, you know they're not appreciating you. Nor do they appreciate your philosophy. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Purport, when one is impotent toward a highly advanced, authorized devotee, one is punished by the laws of nature. The duration of his life is diminished, and he loses the blessings of superior persons and the results of pious activities. Hiranyakashipu, for example, had achieved such a great power in the material world that he could subdue practically all the planetary systems in the universe, including the heavenly planets, Swargaloka. Yet now, because of his mistreatment of a Vaishnava as Prahlad, such a Vaishnava as Prahlad, all the results of his tapasya diminished, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.46. Ayu Sriyam Yasho Dharma Lokan Ashisha Evacha Hanti Shayamsi Sarvani Pumso Mahad Ati Kramaha. When one mistreats great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. Hiranyakashipu spent 120 years of the demigods. Now, if we take the general calculation of a year of the demigods as 6 months of our time, that means 1 year is equal to 180 of our years. So if he spent 120 years of the demigods in his tapasya, that means he spent 180,000 of our years in his tapasya. Now, when we fast for one day, we're trembling in anxiety, looking at our watch, wondering when my austerity will be done. And Hiranyakashipu was fasting for 180,000 of our years, not eating, not drinking, Eventually, when his lungs were eaten by the ants, he wasn't even breathing. He was living in the bones. And all to become immortal, to become eternal. And indeed, he got he got a number of benedictions. He obviously would have had a long life if he didn't disturb Prahlad Maharaj. But of course, it was all arranged by Krishna. He sent Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha to this world to fight with him. So there must have been some reason to fight with him. So he also sent Prahlad Maharaj to birth in the family of Hiranyakashipu, so that Hiranyakashipu would disturb Prahlad. Of course, Prahlad couldn't be disturbed, but that would be a reason for Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance, so he can kill his gatekeeper and eliminate one of the lives that he had to go through before he could return to Vaikuntha. In any case, Hiranyakashipu achieved so many benedictions from Brahma that it would be almost impossible except for Krishna to kill him. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu's life had to be diminished, duration, and the only way it could be done is by his insulting a great devotee like Prahlad. And indeed, we'll find out whether or not Hiranyakashipu's life was diminished or not. If you stay around for the future Bhagavatam classes, you'll find out what happened to Hiranyakashipu. And if you don't know, we won't break the suspense by telling you. So I'll stop there. Any questions, any comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee and
he still is. Hiranyakashipu, well, I won't tell you what happened to Hiranyakashipu, but Prahlad's still alive.
Okay. Wow. He has a tremendous spiritual power. So what if a person doesn't have a spiritual power and is how can she tolerate someone with demoniac mentality like Hiranyakashipu?
He probably won't. If you don't have spiritual power, you're probably a demon also. Demons don't tolerate each other. Unless they have to. Real tolerance, I mean, you can grit your teeth and try to tolerate and curse the person inside. But real tolerance is when you're actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness and therefore you're able to remain aloof from the material experience. That's the ultimate test of tolerance. Not that I'm just waiting to attack this person back, but I can't do it. Or I want to scream, but it won't do me any good, so I have to tolerate. No, the real thing is when you're so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you don't even notice what's going on in the material world. That's the ultimate tolerance. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Narasimha killed Hiranyakashipu and all the other demons.
Few others. There's still a few left around here.
So, yes, that's my question, because these demons are keep rising and rising. So.
Yeah. Otherwise, there would be nothing for the devotees to do. There'd be no, if there's no opposition, then there's no reason to take shelter of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So the demons are a necessary part of the material existence to inspire the devotees to take shelter of Krishna.
And I don't know, our solution should be that we pray for another Narasimha, or we just...
I don't think we need another Narasimha right now.
Something.
Besides that, as we know, if Narasimhadev started to kill all the demons, then there'd probably be no one left. Therefore, he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to kill the demoniac spirit of people. So we should pray that we become an instrument for Lord Chaitanya to help cure our own demoniac spirit and also the demoniac consciousness of others. That's in Kali Yuga what's necessary.
Yes.
Spreading the holy names to purify people's consciousness so they become devotees.
Yes.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.